Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great start to your day. We've got another loaded show for you, as always. It's been a fast-moving week, as we said here on Thursday. Expecting some storms probably during our show, so be on the alert. Be aware that some bad weather may be coming in at some point here in the next 2, 3 hours, 4 hours. Just keep that in mind. So keep just a close eye on that. And if we see anything, obviously we will pass that along as well. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick has the day off, heading down to ATL. Hot Atlanta. I don't know how hot it is today, but it's probably pretty hot. It was hot here yesterday, what, up over 90 degrees. Yeah. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue, and Marquise Munson at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Yeah, I think it was 91 yesterday.
Yeah, it was definitely warm yesterday and a little muggy. So when I was out and about. But, yeah, it's June. It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, it kind of happens this time of year, which is good. We welcome some warm weather. If something else that a lot of you welcome, because we've talked about it all week, is change. And I don't know how you feel about this, but when I see these stories that have popped up over the last 12 to 24 hours, basically since we've been off the air, although the one was I think when we were on the air yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to get to it. We were covering a lot of ground yesterday, but look, right now you are going to be held accountable for anything you say or do in these times, and that to me says that we, you know, for the time being, for now, society has changed some things where it is a top of mind. And anytime Drew Brees, let's start there, said he completely missed the mark on his comments on the flag. And he has backpedaled, and he has now apologized today for his comments that he made on Yahoo Finance, which was done on Wednesday. It was an interview he did on Wednesday, and he said that when he was talking about, taking a knee, he yep. said he will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag, okay? Now he's apologized and said he wasn't his comments on disrespecting the flag completely missed the mark. And, he goes on to talk about Malcolm Jenkins, one of his teammates, was not pleased with Drew Brees' comments. And so Drew Brees is doing a lot of backpedaling today. And here is where I'm at. Like, that's, once again, it's a top of mind. They don't want to hear certain things during these times. But here's where I'm going to stand on this. If you're Drew Brees, okay, by the way, when did that happen? How long ago has that been now? How long has that been?
Ooh, 2016.
That started in what, 2016? Yeah. Right? That's 4 years ago?
Yeah, because he was asked to revisit that with Colin Kaepernick and, you know, everything on that. And for those of you that don't know, Drew is very connected with the military, and I mean that's something that's near and dear to him, and so that's what led to that
Thank
conversation.
You. That you're leading me right to where I want to go. Okay, if you don't know the background on Drew Brees, go look it up. That was just a little capsule of what it is, what Chase just threw out there. He's absolutely connected, does a lot with military. He's a big proponent of that and believes in that. So if you that's how you feel. And a lot of people, look, Drew Brees was not alone, as we know. We've actually referenced it. I've referenced it a couple of times this week on the show. I'll never forget that game here against the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. We talked about it for 4 hours with Loaded Lines on Monday. I'll never forget that show. And we talked about it all week, and we talked about it for a good while. I guess where I'm at is this is part of what we're talking about. It's awareness and the message. and what is the message, and what does this stand for, what does this mean, education moving forward. But here's the deal. If Drew Brees, he clearly feels this way because he said he feels that way 4 years later. Okay, this subject has been hashed, rehashed. It feels like an episode of The Menu at Waffle House. It's been, you know, smothered, covered. I mean, come on. We know that story. And for you to come out and say that, I guess where I'm at, Chase, I'm going to take a little bit different approach. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and everybody doesn't have to agree with what you think, just as we found out for the last 4 years. Because there are a lot of people, and we know this happened. They just stayed away from NFL games. They were that mad, okay? And people have the right to their opinions, whether you agree with it or not. And I understand the biggest thing is you're missing the mark. I get that. But once again, we're 4 years later, and he said he missed the mark. But if you believe that, don't backpedal and change your mind. Because what do you believe? So I'm a little confused on where Drew Brees stands.
Right.
So 4 years later, he's still sticking by what he said from an incident from 2016. He's never changed his mind on that. For 4 years later, he's saying he will always, right? Those were his words, right?
Mm-hmm.
He will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag. So he viewed that as disrespecting the flag. If that's how you feel, Drew Brees, because of, you know, how you feel about the military, then why come out and kind of change your story? Maybe change your story and say, but, and then let's go down the path of where it needs to be. But if you don't believe a certain way, if you still have a problem with that, like a lot of people do, we have a lot of military people, by the way, that listen in our listening area, that listen to this show, and they have never gotten over that, and that's how they feel. And there's a lot of people that will disagree with that and say, I don't understand why you're missing, that's not what it's about. But you can't change their mind. Remember, I said this on Monday. There's certain people, you cannot change certain people's minds. You're not going to do it, okay? You're just not going to. And so I'm confused on Drew Brees' message. His teammates come out. I know Drew Brees wants to be the ultimate team guy, right? When you think of Drew Brees, you think of wholesome. You just think, you know, all-American, you know, guy, blah, 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 blah. And I know he wants to be viewed that way. I get that. But to me, it's a little bit of a mixed message. Am I off base here? I'm just confused by where he is on this. One day he's this way 4 years later, and the next day he's come back and totally backpedaled.
Well, no, I think you're confused, and you should be. I mean, I understand, but I believe that that's the crux of the entire situation in which we're in, is because let's just say this entire everything that's happened over the course of not just the past week, but, you know, in our history with events like this, it's hard to talk about because people, I think so many people don't know how. They don't know how to start that conversation. And whether it's kneeling during the national anthem or peaceful protests, I mean, everybody is expressing themselves in some way. And that's where I'm like, hey, you can handle things your way. I can handle things my way. We may not agree on those ways, but let's look past that and let's talk about the bigger situation and figure out a resolution. That's where people keep getting lost in it. So to your original point, yeah, I mean, I understand, because Drew should have, you know, be able to give his opinion on the flag and what he feels about it. But
if that's the way he feels, then he should stand by that. If that's how he truly feels, then Who is anybody to tell? Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean he's wrong, if that's how he feels. But
right.
Why? He said in an attempt to talk about he's talking about respect and unity and solidarity around the American flag and the national anthem. He obviously feels very strongly about that, like a lot of people do. Then why change what you said? That's how you feel. You have to be willing to accept the consequences for how you feel. That's the way I look at it. If that's how you feel and that's how strongly you feel, and clearly you do, then you have to accept the consequences, especially in these times, of the backlash you're going to get. How does Drew Brees, a smart guy that he is, a Hall of Fame quarterback, not know that there's not going to be backlash from that? And you have to be okay with that, in my mind.
Right. And I will give him credit with his apology that he put on his Instagram. I think he explained himself better than maybe his original comments, because I do believe that he still feels that way, and he's standing
as
by
do
that.
I yes,
but I think he also realizes that you have to word things, or try to word things, try being the key word, the right way, and you're not going to, no matter what, somebody's going to take it the wrong way, and that's just where we are right now. And, you know, I try every day to get my opinion out and get my point across and do it in a respectful way and let you know how I feel. But I also know that I'm going to piss somebody off. That's where we are. That's, people aren't always going to agree with you. Now, what I hope changes, and the change that I'm looking for, is let's all sit down and talk. So why did I piss you off? Don't tweet at me and cuss me out,
yeah,
and call my show trash and say my opinion doesn't matter and insult me. That's going to get nowhere. That's why we're in the position that we're in. If you disagree with me, okay, totally. That's fine.
Let's
why?
Have a conversation.
Tell me why.
Yeah.
And guess what? Because even in conversations that you and I have on sports, on this show, what happens sometimes? I may come in strong on one opinion. You may come in strong on another opinion, and we hear each other out and go, you know what? You make a good point. You're right on that. And you might change my mind. It's okay to change opinions. It's okay to get new information. That's what we're trying to say with all of this. And so with Drew Brees, and I respect Drew Brees a lot.
How could you not? Honestly.
I mean, he is a good person. You look at people and you know, we've had the conversation with Lance Armstrong. Is that a good person that did bad things, or is that a bad person that did good things? I tend to lean towards he's a bad person that did good things.
I don't tend to. I lean. That's
yes.
Exactly where I go.
Drew Brees is a good person. At the end of the day, Drew Brees is a good person. Now, whether you agree with the comments that he made yesterday, that's okay. I mean, that's your opinion. That's, you have every right to feel one way or another on that. But I believe that deep down he is a good person, and he supports the flag, and he wants to support everybody and his teammates. It's just, how does he get that message across? And I thought his apology or his comments on Instagram today were well thought out. And I know that there's going to be a team meeting with the Saints, and they're going to have conversations, and they're going to talk about things. And I truly believe that Drew's going to sit down. He goes, guys, I need you to educate me. Help me out. Let's all discuss this. I'm going to tell you what I meant, where I was coming from, but I want to hear that too. And I have always felt that he is that type of person. So, I hear what you're saying, and I know a lot of people have felt that way of, why is he backpedaling? But I think ultimately at the end of the day, Drew Brees is trying to do the right thing and say the right things and get and learn things.
I'll say this about Drew Brees. He is a great person, and he's just misinformed on the situation at hand that's going on now. And that's why, and this is the problem with our society, is if you're misinformed about stuff, talk to people, ask questions. You have a roster full of teammates who are going through this situation. Ask questions and ask, why is this happening? What's going on? Explain this to me. And it's okay to be misinformed, because that's how we educate each other. You can't just walk around acting like you know everything that's going on when you don't. You have teammates that's going through it. So just talk to them. Malcolm Jenkins should be the first person you call on the phone and be like, hey, man, look, I'm obviously misinformed about what's going on, and obviously my words were taken out of context. Explain it to me. And Malcolm Jenkins, instead of going on Twitter and doing a video, he should have called Drew Brees and talked
to
his teammate.
I feel the same way. I really wish he would have done that.
Exactly.
And he deleted it, but, you know, what does that matter?
Would you go to social media? He's your teammate, man. I mean, pick up the phone and call him. You're two big names on that roster, right? Why would you take that to social media. Just pick up the phone and call him. One of those teammates, DeMario Davis, was indeed of Drew Brees, was on Get Up this morning. Here's what he had to say of the apology.
Hearing Drew's apology, and that's the first, you know, I heard it. You know, I think that is a form of true leadership. And I would say it because that's taking ownership. What we had hoped the first time was that Drew would elaborate more on racism and the sentiments of the Black community. And he admitted he missed the mark. So for him to come out and say, you know, I missed the mark, I've been insensitive, but what I'm going to start doing is listening and learning from the Black community and finding ways that I can help them. I think that's a model for all of America. Because historically, in general, most of America has missed the mark and not hearing the cries. These aren't new cries that are coming out, you know, on behalf of the Black community. I mean, the Black community been crying for a long time. Now it's turned into a global outcry that it's time to stand up for Black lives and make sure that they're not being killed in the streets and putting an end to racism and systematic injustice that has plagued this country for so long. And for him to admit that he was wrong and say, you know what, I can do better and I will do better. I think that is a leadership at its finest.
Well thought out words there. That's Saints linebacker DeMario Davis talking about teammate Drew Brees. We will come back. Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council. We will talk to him on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday morning, we're going to actually have the president and CEO of Dover International Speedway in the third hour of the program talking about NASCAR and a cup race coming to our fine city a year from now. Our weekly chat with Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We got a lot of things on our plate. And right now, one of those things on our plate is talking with Scott Ramsey, the Nashville Sports Council. He is the big cheese over there. That is quite the formal introduction. Good job by me. I can do better than that, but Scott knows that. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. How are you? I feel like cheese any morning.
It has been, you know, I just every time I look at a story and it's like, yeah, of course that's happening in 2020. If it wasn't 2020, I wouldn't believe this story. But, you know, if I'm reading this and it's 2020, then I believe it. It's like anything is fair game.
You're and right. I hope you guys are doing well.
Yep, you too. And I know you guys, let's just start there. I know you guys, just like everybody else, has had to kind of think outside the box and do things differently. You know, we're in a kind of a virtual world right now, and we're doing Zoom, and now you get, you know, virtual runs. And tell us how you guys have had to, you know, operate during these times the last 3 months.
Well, you're right. I think everyone's just had to try to be very creative and adjust and really kind of just figure out ways to just kind of keep moving forward. I think, you know, in the big picture sense, Darren, I mean, we're really continuing to be very focused on the next really 20 to 24 months when we've got an incredible schedule of events coming. And hopefully that, you know, sports and kind of what the Sports Council's done since, you know, late 90s has been really try to, you know, accelerate and emphasize, you know, what sports tourism and visibility, all the events bring to our city from a business standpoint and a notoriety. So, you know, we've really tried to continue to focus on those events that we've got on the schedule. But it's been a challenge, you know. I think it's, we're seems like a perpetual fundraising organization, right? You know, in the past, just raising money for events, raising money to sustain operations and to sustain all the expenses that it takes to put on, you know, large scale events. So that's been a little tough. And one of the things that our staff came up with a great idea, which, as you mentioned, it seems like a little more commonplace now, is a virtual 5K fundraiser for the Sports Council. This is our end of our fiscal year, and we were hoping to have something at Top Golf like we had last year, which was a lot of fun. And this year we've kind of switch gears over to a virtual 5K. It starts next Friday the 12th, and anybody that registers can either sponsor somebody to run or walk, and hopefully wear all your favorite Nashville sports teams paraphernalia and post some pictures. And we've got a great list of prizes we're going to draw out for people, from tickets to Titans and Preds and bowl games and SEC football, SEC basketball and Big Ten, all that kind of stuff. So we're just trying to kind of continue to stay in touch with everybody and know that hopefully sports can kind of really accelerate our recovery over the next couple years with big events and sustaining. You know, some funding has been something we've had to really concentrate on next, you know, these last two or three months.
Scott, we had Todd Rodemel from Downtown Omni on this week. We had Butch Spearden on this week, and just talking about not only meetings within, as you just said, you know, ideas that you're trying to come up with during these times with your staff, but you also you have meetings all the time with organizations and trying to, you know, lure them to Nashville and these big events. What have those meetings been like? That's during these, because those meetings are conducted differently these days.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, in some ways they've kind of been in waves a little bit. I think some organizations have kind of been a little bit on pause, you know, for a few weeks, just given, you know, having to sustain their own operations and trying to figure out, you know, what their events are going to look like down the road, either short-term or long-term. On the other hand, we've continued to pursue. I mean, one of the events that we're chasing pretty hard is NCAA Women's Soccer National Championship, which would be played at the new MLS Stadium in either 24 or 25, which we bid on right before March and submitted all that. So, you know, there's a new event. But, I mean, our 24-month schedule here, Darren, is really one of the best ones we've had in a long time. I mean, we've obviously got a date for the rescheduled Rock and Roll Marathon in November. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to move forward with a bowl at full attendance and full tourism and all that, but we don't know that yet in December. But then we go right into, you know, SEC Men's Tournament in March, and Marathon comes back in April. Next year we've got NCAA Men's Golf Regionals. We've got SEC Football Media Days in the summer. You opened talking about NASCAR coming back in 21. You know, in 22 we've got U.S. Figure Skating Nationals, which is the Olympic qualifier. So we're hopeful that all those organizations continue to have those events as we had planned. But we're like everybody else, a little bit at the whim of, you know, local governmental and health protocols that could really impact, you know, how we stage and market and manage those events.
You led me into my next question. You guys have done such a great job over the years here of late, you know, getting 35,000 tickets sold before the matchups ever announced, which is tremendous, right? It puts you already, you've already put your best foot forward and you haven't even seen the matchup. And then if you get that dream matchup, you know, you may be headed toward a sellout. How do you go about that? You've built that, you know, you've laid that groundwork, but what's been, you know, what's the conversation with people that your staff has talked to that's normally buying a bowl ticket in advance? What are they saying right now as we sit here in early June?
Well, we're on hold with that right now. You know, I think there's not really a template. I mean, we all know that. We've all said it. But it really hits you when it's something that you've done on a pretty regular basis. And you're right. Our momentum on our bowl game was, you know, we had ranked in the top five of the non-playoff games, you know, in the last 6 to 8 years in both viewership and attendance. And it's really been a great tribute to, I think, the city of Nashville. And we're getting ready to start a new six-year agreement and moving up significantly with 6 years with the Big Ten and the SEC. And we really expected some great things. We got a brand-new sponsor that invested from, you know, international company. And, you know, that's been a challenge, and I feel for them, but I'm sure thankful that they're willing to kind of be our partner and ride this through. But, you know, the bottom line is, Darren, really, I mean, we're working on some hypotheticals, but until we really kind of know, you know, a lot of things. I mean, how's the SEC going to manage, you know, their conference? How are the individual schools going to manage their stadiums? How's the Big Ten going to manage, which could be totally different? And then once they get the season started, will there be some modifications in that? We're certainly going to watch and learn a lot. We're in conversations with Bob Flynn and the Titans about how, you know, they feel like they can manage Nissan Stadium. We're going to have a chance to fill the stadium, or we're going to have an, you know, a partial stadium, which is a really challenging process to work on if you think about all the spider web fallouts of that. In other words, you know, how many can you have in there? Is that acceptable, both Big Ten and SEC or the specific school? I mean, Michigan may be very different than Iowa from that standpoint. Auburn may be very different than, you know, Kentucky or Ole Miss. We don't know. And then locally, what will the mayor and Metro and Nissan Stadium allow us to do? How will we manage that from entrance to exits to seating to cleanliness to, you know, bathroom lines and all of that? So we're trying to stay in touch and communicate and put everything down so we can react pretty quickly, because I really expect you know, the conferences to hold off as long as they can on making some decisions on, you know, when they're going to start the season and how they're going to do that. Well, I think they play, yeah, absolutely, but under what circumstances and how you manage the venues is the real devil in the details for us right now.
Sure. Scott Ramsey, that's who we're speaking with right now, president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council. That's crazy. I'm not envious of you and your staff. Those are two massive events, the bowl game and the marathon that you brought up in November, that you it's hard to figure out what you know. That takes a lot of planning to pull those events off, and yet you're probably feeling like you're in nothing but a holding pattern. We've watched this marathon grow and explode, and it's, you know, hung at huge numbers for a long, long time. Is the plan just for that to go off, you know, as normal, or how do you have those discussions with 30-plus thousand runners?
Well, again, it's you know, it kind of starts with the various partners that control various elements of events. So the marathon, for example, Ironman is the controlling and owning entity. They certainly partner with us here in Nashville in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think the question there is, can we visualize on November 21st, you know, 30,000 if we stay where we've been for the last 10 years, 30,000 runners? How will you corral those? What will be acceptable to Metro? And then really think about from behind the scenes. So we've typically tried to recruit and had to stage between water stations, bands every mile, finish line, startup setup, registration. You've got a couple thousand volunteers. So, you know, how do you do that? How do you stage those? Will that be different? You know, how do you keep everybody safe? And then you think about the finish line and at the stadium, which, you know, you've got, you know, a lot of medical there, a lot of grouping of people, and a lot of families trying to find their family member who ran. So right now Ironman's kind of working through those protocols, because this isn't the only race that they're going to work on. We're one of their largest, but they're having to also react to local governmental protocols that are at least in place right now. We don't know what that's going to look like in November. So, you know, there's just a lot of what ifs out there, Darren. And I feel like we're living in the world of hypothetical right now, but we're having to go through that process so we can react and be pretty nimble on a decision making. You know, if something changes, you know, 2 weeks out, it's not something maybe we haven't thought of, but it's a plan, you know, C, D, E, and F. That we've already kind of worked through. So I feel like we're probably going through a lot of work that we won't use right now, but I think we've got to be prepared for some last-minute changes, especially in the short term here with the marathon in November and the bowl game in December.
We're talking to Scott Ramsey, the president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council. And, Scott, you alluded to it earlier, but NASCAR made the announcement 2021 they're going to go to the Nashville Super Speedway. And honestly, that was a little bit of a surprise to all of us. Not a little bit, a huge surprise to all of us, because that track had not been in operation for almost 10 years. But the deal that they worked with Dover Motorsports to put it out there is good for the market, because it gets the sport here with a race. But with all that said, I know that conversations are continuing with the fairgrounds and that racetrack, and that SMI's involvement and the city wanting to have NASCAR here and NASCAR wanting to be in Nashville proper. So just what were your thoughts on the announcement, and how can that help further the conversation with the fairgrounds?
Well, I think you said it pretty well. You know, I think it's great for the market. I mean, anytime we can have, you know, a sports event that brings, you know, a lot of economic impact, a lot of viewership and utilize, you know, some of our great facilities that we have in Middle Tennessee is great. It's great for Wilson County. It's great to kind of revive that speedway. And you know, I'd, I certainly don't know this. I didn't talk to Dover directly, but I would anticipate, you know, they felt like they had an asset sitting there that, you know, Nashville, the way we're growing, was an asset that they could probably, you know, upgrade. I know they got to spend some money to kind of get it race ready, but to do that with an asset that they already controlled and, you know, and utilize the market, hopefully that will kind of lead to more races, given you just don't know how the schedule is going to fall out, given, you know, the coronavirus and all the things going on right now financially with cities. Are they going to be able to hold on to all the events that they currently have? So from that standpoint, maybe the, you know, the fairgrounds can kind of continue to pursue something. And, you know, we can, you know, maybe see a shift in some schedules here and there that would benefit Nashville.
Yeah, and I think I look at it, too, of it's more than, you know, with – because of everything you guys do at the Sports Council in Nashville and Butch Bearden, all the events that they bring in here. I just look at it as, use the word asset, another asset for the city of if they fix that racetrack up. I mean, you can have, yes, you can have a NASCAR Cup race or Xfinity or whatever, but you can have different events. Like I went to a World of Outlaws race where they put dirt on the track last year. There are just different things that you can do with that facility next to a brand new MLS stadium when that gets built. So I just look at it as a plus for the city overall.
Yeah. And you know, again, looking at it purely from a business standpoint and regardless of whether it's racing, soccer, basketball, football, or a marathon, you know, I think one of the things that we've tried to do as a city and worked really well together is, hey, this is something we want to bring people to the city. We want to fill up, you know, hotels and restaurants and you know, a positive impact and viewership and so forth. So even with the race in Wilson County, you're going to have to maximize and utilize all the assets we have downtown, you know, whether it be special events, whether it be hospitality, whether it be people staying downtown. So certainly I think the connectivity to downtown economically, even at Wilson County, is going to be there and hopefully spur something to happen like you're mentioning at fairgrounds.
Yeah, and Butch joined us a couple of days ago and said that the banquet, it looked like that was going to happen again and be back here. So I know that's another big event for this city to have that, because it was such a success last year with the banquet itself and the burnout on Broadway.
Well, I know we're forgetting a little bit. I know we talked about it last year, but we're only a year away from having the SEC football media days for the first time. So hopefully by then we'll be able to go full go. And you're looking at 1,100 plus credential media, but a week long of ESPN in the middle of the summer talking about sports, and you know, we're having it at the new Grand Hyatt over at Nashville Yards, which will showcase a brand new area of our city. Hopefully by then, you know, we'll be able to kind of get back to what that event was when we plan on having it, which I think will give us an opportunity to continue to bring it back here, which we're working on with the SEC. So, you know, it's events like that we've got on the calendar that I think hopefully will help our recovery accelerate better than other cities, and we're going to continue to work to that point.
We just keep getting new things, and it's really cool in this city, man. We could use a PGA Tour stop, you know.
Well, I agree.
I know you do.
You know, I think we have had a constant conversation with the PGA Tour office, and, you know, to the point of very similar to what we're talking about NASCAR, I think you might see some cities, you know, back away from some events because of either financial or, you know, just other issues that have arisen over the last year that may give us an opportunity now. But, you know, I think there's four key components to that, which we talked to the Tour. One, facility. Two, date, where you fall on their schedule. Where do you fall and can really get a top, you know, field that can really elevate it? Because I think a very second or tertiary event would be very difficult here given all the other schedule of events that we have. And then lastly, where do we play it and who's going to be our lead sponsor? You know, so you got to have all those four kind of aligned. And where you play it is more logistical than it is probably course-driven. You've got to have a lot of infrastructure. You got to have a lot of control. You need parking. You need transportation. So, you know, I think we've got to align all those. Is it a possibility? Yes. We'd love to have one. Personally, I would as well as, you know, professionally. But, you know, I think we've got to make sure we got the framework right for success rather than just jump into something and then see it fail, which would be a step backwards.
See, that's why you're in the position that you're in. You give the real answer. I have the easiest job. I just throw it out there and say, hey, this will be cool. Well, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot that goes into that.
Well, I think one thing, though, Darren, really, that we've done really well as a city, and I know we say it a lot. Sometimes we take it for granted, but I think we work really well together on thinking things out and through. And if we're going to go chase something, whether it be the draft, the All-Star game, SC basketball, bowl game, a marathon, or a banquet, or SC football, we've all worked together well, thinking we've got the right ingredients to make this successful. So we're either all in, whether it be Metro, Butch and the hospitality community, the downtown hotels, the Preds, the Titans, whatever facility that we've needed, a convention center. We've all been in on making those pursuits, and when we've gotten them, we've all joined hands and made sure they're successful. So, you know, without just kind of putting things on there and hope they work, I think we've really been proactive in making sure that we've got the right framework to be successful.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for the visit, as always. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Look forward to seeing you guys in person soon.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. That is Scott Ramsey. He is the president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council. We will come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, let's toast the heroes in our community. Submit your local hero today. You can text us at 615-737-1025. Connect with us on social media, or you can visit thegamenashville.com. Tell us about your heroes. Then you can listen in at 4 p.m. each weekday, as the afternoon show will raise a toast to our heroes. Thank you for your sacrifice. You're the definition of truth royalty. Cheers, Crown Royal. Must be 21 years or older to toast. Please drink responsibly. I just saw Ian Rapoport of NFL Network tweet out that a memo has just been sent to NFL teams saying that beginning tomorrow, which is June 5th, that coaching staffs may join the employees. Remember, the employees have been over the Titans facility, I think 75. Is that right? You could have up to 75 employees in the NFL building. But as of tomorrow, the NFL is saying coaching staffs will be able to rejoin everyone at the facility. So I would assume starting tomorrow that the Titans staff will be back at the facility. Once again, one step closer to, we talked about this yesterday, where the NFL sent out the memo that, hey, going to need you to stay at home this year for training camp. Stay at your facilities. And no joint practices, by the way. It seems like, yet again, all this news is them getting prepared for, you know, what seems to be normal schedule. That's the way I take it, that we'll be talking about a training camp at the end of July. Here's the question. Will there be fans in attendance?
That continues to be the million-dollar question. Because
will there be media in attendance?
That's another good point. I see, there's part of me that tends to lean towards there will be some fans in attendance, which, if, you know, just kind of looking at it that way, if you let some fans in, then you're going to let some media in. But then I see reports that, you know, Mayor Cooper said today that Nashville's 14-day average of cases have shown an uptick, so we're staying in phase two for now. When I see reports like that, that makes me think, maybe not. It just depends.
Or don't
on the
have
city.
Gatherings of thousands of people right there together, you know? I mean, or there's that when you don't, you know, you're not running to full capacity downtown.
Yeah, there is that. That would certainly. But see, that leads us into this conversation. Okay, if you don't want thousands of people all together, I mean, what would be the right number to let fans into Nissan Stadium? Would it be appropriate to do that? And we really don't know the answer, because I think you have to see how things look when you get to September. So I don't know if you really, I based on our conversation with Scott, I think you kind of have to plan multiple ways. You have to, okay, maybe we're good, we'll let everybody in. Maybe we're not, we won't let anybody in. Maybe we let some in. I think that that's where they're at this point of, we can sit and speculate and ask the question and talk about it, and that's what we should do, but I don't think there's really a clear-cut answer, and there's not going to be for a while.
Well, how do you – I guess who would monitor that? There's really no assigned seating at training camp. you're kind of on your own. People stand around. There's usually covered bleachers. You know, how do you mark the bleacher? Like, how would you, to me, logistically, well, I don't know how teams pull off letting fans into training camp.
I guess I misunderstood your question. I thought that you meant for the games. Training camp.
No, I'm talking about training camp.
No.
I mean, training camp is.
I think training camp's closed.
Why wouldn't they have already put that out there?
Because they don't necessarily have to yet. I mean, they could be holding on to a little bit. That's where I think a lot of us are. Is you give the answer of, well, I don't know what it's going to look like in July. I don't know what it's going to look like in August, because you don't. And so why say, hey, we're not going to let fans in for training camp, when you could get to training camp and all of a sudden it would be okay to let some fans in, but now you've already said they can't. So I think that that's one reason why they're not making that announcement yet, and that's fine. Like, I don't think we have to rush to come to any rulings. That's what I was saying with fans in the stands for games. You know, why answer that question on June 4th? See what it looks like on August 4th, you know, before you start the preseason. See what it looks like then, and then make that ruling. But so that's why I think they haven't announced that yet.
I don't think they're going to be able to pull off fans for training camp. I don't think.
I don't either.
And I think they're just going to have to ask the fan bases to say, you just have to understand, you know, during these times. I mean, we're trying to give you a product this year. So if you have to sacrifice being in attendance at training camp, then we're just going to need you to sacrifice being in attendance for training camp. But we're trying to give you a product in the fall. So, you know, bear with us. You just come out with a statement like that, and everybody should be understanding. If you're not understanding of that, then, you know, you weren't going to please that person anyway, right?
Yeah.
There's really nothing you could say to them. If you don't understand in these times what we've been through the last 3 months and will continue to be in, that we're not under normal conditions or normal circumstances. And, oh, by the way, this sports league is actually trying to start up and do everything on time. If you're not, understanding of that, then, like I said, I don't know why they would waste their time with you, because probably they're not going to get through to you anyway.
Yeah, well, that's very, very, very true. So you brought up earlier, too, about media, you know, and I was sitting there thinking, I NASCAR has adopted the policy of they have, I think, 4 media members that are in the press box, and that's been it. Now, could they change that? Could they add a little bit more? Moving forward, you know,
well, if they're going to open up the stands, probably so, right?
Yeah, but they did. It was announced today that Indianapolis Motor Speedway, there's going to be a doubleheader weekend where they're going to run on July 4th. They will run the Xfinity race on the road course and the IRL or IndyCar on the road course. It'll be the first NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader in history, and then the Cup race will be on the regular track, the Brickyard 400. On that Sunday, there will be no fans. They have made that announcement. Won't be fans. And I think that's coming more from IMS and the Indy Motor Speedway. But there's still, you know, there was that report earlier this week that Homestead could allow fans. But where's Homestead? That's Florida. So you don't know. Talladega in Alabama. So I'm wondering what that would look like if there are a couple of races, you know, here in the next few weeks that they do allow some fans in, and then you go to another track where they don't. And I think you're going to see some of that. It's just all about the state. It's all about the city in which the event is in and what's going on at that place at that time on whether they decide to let some people in or not.
So interesting. A couple pieces, tidbits on the NFL. Coaching staffs, will be able to report back to the facility starting tomorrow around the league. Also, they made the announcement yesterday that they're going to want everybody to stay at their place for training camp.
Yeah.
A lot of teams don't do training camp at their place, like permanently. Other teams also take a year, step away for a year and go somewhere new. But they're saying, hey, yeah, none of that this year, and we're going to need you just to hit each other during training camp. No joint training camp practices this year. Also, I read where Bruce Arians and the Bucks have put out there that they have real interest in Devontae Freeman, who is, by the way, still sitting out there with no home. But Bruce Arians says if his price tag was reasonable, but right now he's asking for a lot of money, and we don't have a lot of money. Hmm. And I wouldn't give Devontae Freeman a lot of money either, so I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. Yeah,
I don't think anybody's going to give Devontae Freeman a lot of money at this point.
No. Yeah, well, and the same can be said for Clowney. I mean, that's the conversation we've been having with Jadeveon Clowney of how much money are you willing to give him at this point with him still sitting out there. But that's where you have to – if you're a player and you're still a free agent on June 4th, and I understand that we're in unique circumstances and this has been a very different free agency period, but others got signed, so you're still out there. You may have to take the 1 year prove it deal and then try and get your money on the next go around. But players want to hold on to as much as they possibly can, and that's why he's still a free agent.
Logan Ryan still without a team. Clowney still without a team. Devontae Freeman just turned 28 in the last 3 months or so. So it's not like he's at that critical stage of, you know, when he gets to 30 or whatever, where, you know, people just, there's a stigma on running backs, but he has not been the same. That's fair to say, right? The last 2 years have not been good years for Devontae Freeman. I don't know where he thinks big money is in the cards. I get it. He's had big seasons, but he's had like two big seasons. So that was a long time. It was 4 years ago. So the last 3 years have been, especially the last 2 years, have been, you know, well below average. And 3 years ago, it was average. So I'm not sure where he thinks big money is in the cards for him.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled up a list of the best remaining free agents, and obviously Cam Newton leads that list, Jadeveon Clowney at two, but Everson Griffin's still out there. You mentioned Logan Ryan. Eric Reed's still available. Devontae Freeman is still there. Drake Kirkpatrick, who's a veteran, only 30 years old, veteran corner. Jason Peters, Timmy Jernigan. I mean, there are some guys that maybe don't have, have their best years behind them, but still are serviceable, and yet they're still sitting out there. So I find that to be pretty interesting to see what kind of a run on some of these free agents there will be when we get closer to training camp.
And with now the news that tomorrow staffs will again rejoin the employees that have already been back at NFL facilities, does that indeed, some of these names we're tossing around, does that now change that? Are these guys about to find homes really, really soon with NFL facilities basically opening back up to staff and employees?
Yeah, I think it will. If the NFL is saying, yes, you can bring in a player to work out, you know, for those purposes, I would say, yeah, then it probably will. Because then you could have, like in the Titans situation, you have John Robinson, you have Mike Vrabel, that if they truly have the interest that we think they do in Jadeveon Clowney, you bring him in for a workout, then you get the deal done. So I think you're right. I think we're going to see some signings here if that is the case. I don't know the NFL's policy right now on that, because if they're not letting the players come until training camp, what does that mean? And I know some have been there to rehab, but or not have on-field stuff, I should say. So what exactly are they going to be able to do in this situation? But I even think bringing somebody in just to talk changes some things. So we'll see.
I think if they were able to land Clowney, I don't think there's any doubt they're going to be the hands-on favorite to win the AFC South.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think. And I know there's some people that think
People feel that way now, but I think that, to me, I think it'll be across the board. You're just going to see people picking the Titans to win the division.
Yeah, and we have that conversation of, okay, how many wins is it going to take? I think probably 11, if I'm being honest. Maybe 10. I mean, we've seen 10. You know,
division may be down a bit, so maybe 10 gets it done.
Maybe 10. It depends on Indy, and it depends on, you know, how much does Houston fall. I'm not worried about Jacksonville, but, you know, is Houston really going to fall off like I think they're going to without Nuke Hopkins on that team? But And can J.J. Watt stay healthy, which is the question you ask every year now. Love J.J. Watt, but he can't stay healthy anymore. So how big of a fall off is it going to be? But and then what is Indy? You know, what does Rivers have left in the tank that he can make that team better? So, yeah, I'm curious too. And look, the Titans, we may find out, and because I don't think their schedule's easy, but it's not the hard. You know, they've had harder schedules. We may find out in the first 4 weeks, like, oh, okay, we know what this is going to look like. But they have to get that Denver monkey off their back because they've never won out there as the Titans. So, got to start with week one.
We will come back and start hour number two with Adam Amin. We will talk to him. He is the new play-by-play voice for the Chicago Bulls. But we're going to go down a lot of roads with Adam on the other side here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.